on the banks of the Grand River, high above the Alora Gorge. This is the Buzzer Podcast. Indie music, new releases, industry insiders, out-of-the-box conversations with guests from the true north, from the west coast to the east coast, to across the pond, and from down under. And now, here is Shay.
Hey y'all, Shay here, On Air Indie. Welcome and enjoy episode 43. First, music history trivia for May 10th. In 1970, they awarded David Bowie the Ivor Novello Award. It was for best known song, Space Oddity. He performed the song that night, accompanied by Les Reed Orchestra. The event went live via satellite to venues in America, France, Spain, Australia, Holland, and Venezuela. Bowie would later revisit his Major Tom character in the songs Ashes to Ashes, Hello Space Boy, and Black Star. Joining our show today is singer, songwriter, and producer Ravita. She lives in Los Angeles, United States. We chat about her training and education. It spans from upstate New York, Spain, and London, United Kingdom. Ravita also gets real about life as an artist living in Los Angeles and in New York City. You will love this show. So hi, Ravita, how are you? Thank you for coming upon the show today.
Hi, Shay, I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I think the listeners would be interested to know I'm talking to you from India today, even though you produce your music out of the United States.
Yes, so I am actually from India, and I'm currently here visiting family.
What part of India are you from?
Oh, from New Delhi. It's the capital.
Oh, New Delhi. It's a beautiful area.
Yeah.
Beautiful area. I read your blog. It's interesting. You're quite a good writer. You came to America and started out in New York City, did you not?
So when I came to America, I actually went to upstate New York, Syracuse, and I was there for 1 year before I moved to the city.
Okay. And is that where you got your master's?
So I went to Syracuse and I studied a master's in audio there.
Okay. Yeah. And then you moved to the city when you graduated.
Yeah.
And now you are in Los Angeles?
Yes.
So what was the difference in the music industry and your experiences from New York to Los Angeles?
So I think there's a huge difference. Like New York has it has its own sound basically. And, you know, New York is crowded and it's gritty, and a lot of things about New York are way different than LA, because in LA everything is more professional. There are all these different resources. So I feel like they both have like a different genre altogether, you know. New York somehow has this alternative rock, gritty, electronic vibe.
Different type of music.
Yeah, and not just that, like ever since I've moved to LA, there's so much of film music there, and you know, like there's so many opportunities for film and TV, and that has really influenced my sound as a writer, as a musician. And so in New York, like while I was in New York, I was more alternative, and it's been amazing just figuring out how living in different places has influenced my sound in so many ways.
Well, you call yourself a citizen of the world.
Sometimes, yeah.
I thought it was an actually cool way to say it, because there's so many people, especially young people, young artists that do travel all to create their music. Like Australians going to Germany and to Israel, and yourself going to New York and now in Los Angeles. It's actually become quite a thing. Quite a thing.
Yeah, I actually did my bachelor's and my first master's in London. And while I was in London, I started playing the samba. And I got very, very involved in world music. And mm-hmm. that, like, I got very, very obsessed with music from around the world. And that really shaped my sound as an artist.
Well, your music definitely has a ton of cultural differences, cultural influences in it. I can see that. So how did you become interested in music?
I think the question should be, how did music become interested in me?
Okay, you run the show.
No,
that's a good discount. I love that. It shows your attitude. I love it. Okay, so how did music become interested in Ravita?
So I don't quite know. I've always been doing music. Like when I was a kid, my mom loves to sing, and she would sing, like she would make up these lullabies for me, and she would sing all over the house. And then, I was a part of like the school choir when I was very small. And then around the age of 12, like I picked up a guitar and I got interested in songwriting, and I would listen to music all the time. Like I was very, very interested in alternative music, pop music, film music. And my mom would take me and we would buy cassettes. And I would listen to them on my Walkman all the time. So what I used to do was I used to have ideas for songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I would write them, like they would come to me in the form of melody and lyrics together. Like I would have a chorus or I would have a little verse. But what I did not know was, how do I put chords to these?
Mm-hmm.
And I still remember very distinctly, I was like a teenager, and I was able to actually put chords to one of my little like choruses. And that was such an aha moment. But after that, I kind of lost it for a little while. Like I wasn't able to do it again. And I joined music classes, and music was always like a part of my life.
So the music you're putting out right now, the three tracks that we're going to be listening to, they're more of the alternative pop genre. What drew you to that type of music?
I think it also has to do with like my personality in general. Like when I was younger, I always listened to a lot of alternative music. I think it started out with Eminem and Avril Lavigne, and went to Linkin Park, Simple Plan, Good Charlotte, and like a lot of alternative rock bands, The Calling, and somewhere in there was like a lot of pop music that mm-hmm. I used to listen to while growing up. And I think I always had that alternative rock personality, and I always wanted to be more into the rock world, but it wasn't like I didn't listen to pop music or I didn't listen to other kinds of music. So I think it was kind of going back to my roots, like going back to where I began as a musician. And especially now, I think a lot about the music I used to listen to when I was a teenager and when I really, really fell in love with music. And I never wanted to be a pop star or, you know, like be very bright. And I always wanted to be more of a songwriter than anything else.
Okay. So you like writing songs more than performing?
Sometimes, but I do like being on stage. I'll have to think that one over.
So the track Someone Else's Arms came out November of 2019. You have had radio play on BBC London and Rolling Stone. India has featured you. Did it start with this single, or was it one of the other two singles we're going to be talking about, Chocolate and Lonely with Someone?
So Someone Else's Arms did really well. Yeah, it actually got featured on BBC as their track of the month, and it premiered on Rolling Stone India.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Chocolate and Lonely with Someone is still too new to kind of comment where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when I am writing music or when I'm producing music, I don't usually think about, how well this will do or where will it go. For me, it's about the exercise of writing and then getting it to completion. And for me, that is more of where my head's at.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
So the song, Someone Else's Arms, was that written about a personal experience?
Yes, yes and no.
Okay, that's a solid answer.
It's like, I practiced my Fifth Amendment right.
Okay, we'll go with that. We'll go with that. Okay, so tell us the concept of the song then. Okay, I won't pull your teeth.
So actually, I went to a songwriting retreat in 2016 in Spain. And for 7 days, there were like 30 songwriters. And we wrote a lot of songs while we were there. And everyone kept insisting that the best songs are those which are written about love. So after that, I really started thinking about what love meant to me,
mm-hmm.
and my experience of love, and you know what I had learned about love from watching TV or meeting people or watching movies. So I wrote a lot of songs, and somehow when I would try to write like a proper love song, it just wouldn't come out right. And it just so happened one day I was in Syracuse, like a year later from when I'd gone to the songwriting retreat, and I was at the university right at the time, and I'd been so busy that I was hardly writing any songs. And I was like, you know, I want to write songs and that's all. So I decided that I'm going to pick up my guitar every day for the next 1 year and write whatever, like I'm going to write a song every day. And Someone Else's Arms was actually like the first song I wrote, and it just came out of nowhere. Like, I don't think I was consciously thinking about what I want to write about, who I want to write about. I just was feeling so sick of not writing and thinking too much about writing about something specific that I was like, I'm just going to jolt down whatever comes into my mind. And that song literally like wrote itself. Like, I don't even know how it happened. I just remember picking up my guitar and coming up with it.
That's amazing. It's a great track. So we're going to listen to Someone Else's Arms next.
It always comes back to you, my friend. Somehow we always find a way to make it end. Through the thick and thin, we push each other down. Every time I try to smile, you always turn it around. And even though I wish I never met you, and even though I wish I'd never seen your broken heart,
So I find it interesting that you almost, regardless of your higher education and master's, you're self-taught in production. Like you taught yourself how to produce. You do your own makeup for your videos. You're quite handy at doing things. I was very impressed. I'm very impressed. So how do you find producing your own videos?
I think it depends from song to song. Initially, it was a lot of fun, you know, when I started doing it for the first time, like producing my own videos.
Mm-hmm.
But over a period of time, you know, it becomes, it's not always that much fun. Sometimes it's more than it was before. But I think making videos really taught me teamwork. And I had to reach out to different people and I had to collaborate with, like, you know, somebody to work the camera, somebody to do the lighting and things like that.
Yeah.
So for me, like, video taught me a lot about teamwork and collaboration, that you can make music on your own, but making good videos, you usually need other people to be a part of it.
Definitely, especially when creating music at times.
Yeah.
The collaborative effort taught you the teamwork. What else did it teach you? Did it expand your songwriting skills?
Yeah, I think, you know, I was talking to somebody recently and they said these words to me. They said, to write good songs, you actually have to go out and live life.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so true. Like, I've traveled a lot, but you can do a lot of things in your own bubble. But when you really have to do a project, when you really have to accomplish something, you have to reach out to people, you have to form relationships, and that's where a lot of songs lie. You know, sometimes when you're talking to somebody on the phone and they'll say something and you'll be like, wow, that would make a really good song.
Does that happen to
you? Oh, yeah, yeah. I was actually, many years ago, I was talking to a friend on the phone and I just jokingly said, I think I need something to pacify me. And that literally was like, that literally gave birth to my song Pacify. That happens to me a lot. A lot of good songs come out of conversations.
That's amazing. It's interesting. So what conversation created chocolate? Because it's a very sexy, sultry tune.
I think...
I love it, by the way.
Thank you. I don't quite remember what conversation, but I do love dark chocolate a lot. And you would always find, like, Lind 70% dark chocolate in my house. So maybe something to do with that.
My favorite is 90%, believe it or
wow.
not. Like, I'm a real diehard dark chocolate. Yeah, very, very much. So it's about chocolate, not about a man? Because you have to agree with me. It's a very sultry tune.
Yeah, I think it was about, I don't know if you've ever felt this way, but there are moments, right, when somebody else is feeling stressed out or somebody else is feeling something and they make you feel the same way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
I guess so, the feeling of having dark chocolate.
And then, like, if I'm in that situation, I would go home and, like, just to comfort myself, I would have dark chocolate. And literally, that's what happened. I was talking to someone and they really stressed me out. And I was like, God, you're so dark. Like, and then I went home and I was like, oh, I'm going to have this chocolate. And I was like, oh my God, he's so dark and bitter. Just like the chocolate that I like.
That's funny. That's a great story. Well, put out a great tune. Put out a great tune. We're going to listen to Chocolate. Next, it was released April of last year. Amazing track.
I don't want to feel everything you do, and I don't want to talk anymore about you. I don't need, do I need you?
So the creative process that you have when you're songwriting, is it different depending on the song, or do you usually follow a set process?
It's different depending on the song. Like, some songs literally write and produce themselves. I don't even, like, there are moments when I'm like, I don't even know when I've done all this. And then there are some songs you really have to work at, you know?
Do you feel closer, I guess, for the lack of a better term, do you feel closer to the songs that take effort?
No, not particularly. If anything, I feel more distance from them.
I get that. I write for a living, and something, if it takes me too long to do an article, by the time I finish it, it's like, okay, I'm done. So I get that.
Yeah, but then what I've realized is, once you release them and put them out in the world, that's the only time you actually know how you felt about it.
Oh, explain that. That's interesting.
Okay, so as long as, you know, feelings kind of change over a period of time, especially when it has to do with, like, the work that you've created.
Yes, definitely.
So, let's say I write a song today, I'd be very excited about it, or I'd feel a certain way today, but I might forget about it 10 days later, or I might remember it like 2 months later and be like, oh, I remember that song I was working on. And then depending on what goes on with the song, like, you know, different projects, different trajectory, like, sometimes you collaborate with somebody who's really awesome, and sometimes you collaborate and it doesn't work out. So depending on the production and how it went, my feelings would then change. But it's only when I release the song and then hear it back and then get the feedback, and that's when I kind of, you know, that's when the song has a life of its own.
Yeah, it does, definitely.
That's when, like, feelings really change dramatically. Like, there's nothing you can do about it. Now you've put it out. Like, what else can you do?
So how do you feel when you release a song?
Anxious.
Really?
Yeah.
Does it matter to you what people think?
I don't think it's about what people think. It's mostly about what I think.
Okay.
You know, okay. Like, I've produced something and I've heard it for so long on my own headphones or on my iPhone through, like, whatever channels, like through my Google Drive or whatever different, like a private SoundCloud link. But now it's out. It's on Spotify. It's on iTunes. It's on Amazon. And every time you listen to it on different platforms, you're kind of like, I have this tendency of overthinking and going, oh, it sounds different here. Or, oh no, I should have done this differently. But then there's a beauty in releasing something and not being able to change anything. And, you know, like, living with that, like, this is it. Like, this is what I created. And this is what I thought a lot about. And it's out there now. And it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks or says.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. Have you ever released a song in a different version than the original?
Yeah, I actually have a song. It's called While the Love Is Gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I released the original first, and then I released a remix.
And when was that?
Oh, that was like back in 2017.
Okay. I'm going to look it up. That's interesting. So you were talking about collaborations. What collaborations have you done?
Oh, I usually collaborate a lot on videos. One of my music video, Listen, I released that in 2017, or actually was it? Yeah. And it went to different film festivals, and I actually got people from all around the world to send me a clip of their face.
Oh.
And I had like 30, 40 people send me a clip of their face, and a bunch of dancers from here, from New Delhi, they danced on the video and they sent me the video. And I took all of that and I edited it out and I put it in the video, and like it just turned out so well. Yeah, and then I continued collaborating. I collaborated with a friend on the video of Chocolate, on the video of someone else's arms, on the video of my song Her Ghost. Yeah, like different people helping me out with the camera or color correction, editing.
And were these people in Los Angeles?
No, so my friend who helped me with Her Ghost, his name is Chang William Wang, and he's in New York City. And I worked with a photojournalist who is a friend of mine, and she helped me with the camera on Chocolate, and she did all of the camera work on that. Her name is Shuran Huang, and she is in Washington, DC. So everyone's in different places. The only person in LA would be Ryan, who helped me with someone else's arms.
That's amazing. She did great work on the video.
Yeah.
So the next track that we're going to listen to is Lonely with Someone. I was astounded hearing spoken voice in the track. I love that. What was the reasoning behind putting that in the track?
It was just a voice message someone had sent me, and yeah, I didn't know what to do with that. I did not know how to respond, so I was like, might as well use it for creative purposes.
Well, it was amazing. I love that. I'm sitting here trying. I tried to turn it up and trying to understand it, but it really gave a great feel to it. And the song is about confronting the pain of ambiguous loss. What type of loss?
I think I honestly think like loss can be of, you can lose money, you can lose people, you can lose a lot of different things, but sometimes you lose yourself.
Definitely.
And sometimes you surround yourself with people who encourage you to lose yourself.
Okay. That was deep. Okay. Yeah, you're right about that. You're right about that. And you brought that all together into this piece of music.
Yeah, and then I spent a lot of time. So I think I would spend a lot of time questioning myself in relationships. Like, is it me? Is it me? Is it me? And then eventually I came full circle when I realized if you're questioning yourself, it's probably not the right relation. Like, it's not the right dynamic. Like, it's not me and it's not them. We're just not right for each other. And it took me a long time and a lot of different friends and like different colleagues to understand what right feels like. That understanding was like a big aha moment for me, and I was like, wow, I finally understand that what like the wrong thing feels like.
That's wonderful. A lot of people take their entire lives and they don't feel that. They don't feel that. So why have you written that song, Lonely with Someone, was the most intimidating piece of music I've ever created?
Number one, I created it in the middle of a pandemic.
Okay. All right.
And
Yeah, you
then,
would have. It was released March of this year, so
yeah, Yeah, I wrote it in June. I wrote it in like May or June of 2020, and it's melancholic in a lot of different ways. And sometimes it's vulnerable. I'm being very honest with it. And at the end of the day, it was intimidating in the sense I made a lot of creative decisions which were unusual on it. And they felt right to me, even if they were not technically what someone would do. And to leave something as it is, like, I think it was one piece of music where I really honored myself as an artist. And I was like, this is my painting. It's not about having a chorus. It's not about being a hit on a radio. This is just like what I would do if I had a blank canvas and a bunch of paint, and I wanted to express how I felt. And that's what I did with it, even though there were people who were like, it lacks a chorus, or maybe you should do this, that, maybe you should repeat that line again. I was like, no. I kept saying, no, this is what I want it to be. So I was kind of intimidated by myself in ways that I was so determined to leave it the way it was and to make those creative decisions.
So a lot of it that you did by yourself.
Yeah, I
To be honest with you, that's my favorite track that you put out. It seemed raw. Now that you explained that you did it at the beginning of the pandemic, or somewhat just after the pandemic hit, I can understand why. Were you in Los Angeles when that happened?
Yes.
So you were not able to travel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. I get that.
And I did have one of my friend that I made in LA. I only met him once. I went to a jam night, and there was this guy who played guitar for me on the stage, and I sang Lady Gaga that day, and it was a lot of fun. And I just sent him the track, and he played guitars on it, and he did such an incredible job. Like, it was mind-blowing. And I think that brought the entire track to life. And then another person played bass on it. His name is Angus Campbell. He's in UK. And these musicians, like, they did such a good job. Like, they really understood my vision. And they played their part without asking any questions. They just did what they felt like. I feel like I didn't give them much direction at all. And then to have the opportunity to mix that and make it my own was, I think it was very, very beautiful in a lot of different ways.
Well, you put out a great release.
Thank you.
So now we're going to listen to Lonely with Someone, released March of this year.
You said I'm everything because of you. The world broke you, so you broke me too. Oh, the glass is full, always on your end. Tell me what's your drink? Are you gonna pour me in? And I know the night is young, but you're not the one. I'd rather be alone than be lonely with someone. We go back and forth, always round and round. You push, I pull, never making a sound. Oh, the smoke it fills, fills up your lungs. Tell me, what's your drug? Are you gonna light me up? And I know the night is unsung, so hold down your gun. I'd rather be alone than be lonely with someone.
You're an old friend, and you know, of course, there's a deep emotional connection that we have. But what I don't like is this crazy behavior. Ridiculous. That's a lie.
So, could we look forward to a album this year?
I hope so. To be very honest, it's always been my intention to release an album. But it just so happens that it takes a lot of work to finish an album. And what I've realized is that releasing a single kind of gives life to each and every piece of music. But I've not released a full-length album till now. I've released an EP. I've released a lot of singles. And it is my intention to finish an album and to release it. But I don't want to make promises that I can't keep. So once I've finished it and once I've done it, only then I would say yes. As of now, it's all... I'm happy that I've released a new song and I'm promoting that, and hopefully soon I will release more music.
Well, I look forward to hearing it. I love your voice. I love your artistic endeavors. You're doing very well.
Thank you. This means a lot.
Are you more active on Instagram or Facebook, or would you prefer people to follow you on Bandcamp or Twitter?
I am more active on Instagram. I particularly love Instagram stories, but yes, I am also on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Bandcamp. And it's very easy to find me. I am Rivita Music, at Rivita Music on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And I'm just rivita.bandcamp.com on Bandcamp. Or I have a website, and that is rivitamusic.com.
There's lots of places to find your music, but I've been on your Instagram. I actually follow you. It's a very strong page. It's very strong.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're very Instagram active. Is,
yeah, you know, pictures speak louder than words.
Yeah. So I would recommend fans to follow you on Instagram and take it from there.
Yeah.
Right? Because they'll hear everything about you and they'll be able to follow you. You can see the professionalism that you put in creating your music and you put into your work and your craft, and the education that you've had and the experiences that you've had really comes out in your music. It's incredible that you can see that so vividly.
Okay, Shay, thank you so much for having me. I really, really appreciate you. Thanks for your kind words, and I hope that whatever new music I put out in the future, you would love it just as much as you loved this one.
Well, I follow you everywhere, honey, so you're definitely going to be on the show again.
Okay.
All right. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Bye.
Well, thank you all for tuning in. If you enjoy listening to this podcast, please share this episode with others and post about it on social media. To catch all the latest from The Buzzer and upcoming shows, you can follow us on Instagram at The Buzzroll Media and on Twitter at The Buzzer Indie. Catch you at the pod next episode, On Air Indie, from iPad to yours over the airways. Subscribe feeds at thebuzzerpod.com. Cheers.